The pasuk in this week's parsha says that Yaakov went for the brachos. He was wearing Esav's clothing, and the pasuk says, "Vayarach es reach begadav vayivarcheu." Yitzchak smelled his clothing, and he gave him a bracha. And the Medrash is bothered that the smell of his clothing, Esav's clothing, must have stunk. A hunter, it must smell very badly. So what does it mean that he smelled it? And then he gave him a bracha. And the Medrash gives different opinions to explain. One of the answers that the Medrash says is that the word begadav should be read bogdav, the traitors. Meaning that Yitzchak saw into the person that was standing in front of him's descendants, that even the traitors, the people, the Rishayim, the people that would go way off the derech, do horrible things, sin against Hashem, even they would come back. And therefore, he said, "Oh, I'm going to give you a bracha." And the Gemara and the Medrash says, for example, Yosef Meshisa. Who is this person, Yosef Meshisa? Bishah shebikshu sonim lihikanes lahar bayis. When the enemies came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Amru, they said, "Yikanes mehem ubehem tchila." Before we go in there, let's send a Jew. Let's send a Jew in there and let him start off the process of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. It's unclear in the Mefarshim. They say either because they were scared that maybe something would happen to them, so the first guy in, you know, he tests the waters. He goes through the minefield first to see what's going to happen. Or maybe it was a stronger attack against Hashem that even one of his people, even someone like a Jew, would go in there and start off the destruction. Okay, so they found someone. They found this guy, Yosef Meshisa, who was way off, and he was willing to go in and start off the process of destroying the Holy Temple. Amrinlei, they said to him, "Ul umad at mapik didach." Go in there and take one of the things out of there, one of the special treasures in the Beis HaMikdash, take it out, and you get to keep it. An incentive. You always need incentives. Nichnas, he went in there, Vahotzi menorah. He went for the big menorah. No dummy. Shelzav, he went for the golden menorah, and he walked out. Can you believe it? A Jew went into the Beis HaMikdash and stole the menorah. Amrulo, the people, the Goyim were around. They said to him, "Oh, that you can't touch. Ein darkel shel hedyot lishtamesh bezu." Regular, ordinary people, they don't use a menorah like that. And therefore, ela ul zman tinyanus. Go back in a second time. And take something else. Don't take the menorah. Take something else, and whatever you take is going to be yours. V'lo kibel alav. But Yosef Meshisa said, "I can't go back in there. No way." Amr of Pinchas, nasnu meches gimul shanim. They said, "We'll give you the ability to collect the taxes for the next 3 years. All the money is yours. Go in there. Take something else out." V'lo kibel alav. He said, "I can't go back in." Amr, he said, "Lo dai, it's not enough shich asti elo kai pamachas. It's not enough that I angered my God one time. El shachisenu pam shnia. A second time, I should be able to go in there and do it again." Ma'asulo, what did they do to him? Nasnu oso b'chamur shel charashim. They put him on some type of bench. V'hayminasim, but they started to saw him into pieces. Hayimitzaveach, and he cried out, "V'omer vay oi oi shich asti lebori. Ayve, that I angered my creator." So the Panovich Rav asks the following question. Here you have perhaps one of the worst Jews that existed at that time. He was willing to go into the Beis HaMikdash and start the destruction process. He was willing to take the menorah to bring it to his own house, to light. What type of chutzpah? They can't get greater than that. And he went in. He came out, and they said, "Look, you didn't do a good job. Go back in." He said, "I can't do it. I can't go in again. I can't anger." And he was willing to die al kiddush Hashem. Just like that. What happened? There was no inspirational schmooze inside the Beis HaMikdash. What exactly happened? Says the Panovich Rav. He said, you see from here the power of your environment. Of just walking into a holy place like Beis HaMikdash for a minute, for a moment. And he was going in there with bad reasons. Had such a great impact on him that immediately he changed around and he said, this is not for me. I can't do this. What did I do? I can't believe it. I can't do this again. I can't anger my Creator. Just like that. In one moment. The power of our environment. It's absolutely incredible. You see, early in the parsha, the famous question that Yaakov and Esav was inside Rivka's womb, and Yaakov was running out. He wanted to get out of there. The problem is that the Gemara tells us that while a child is in his womb, he's learning with a malach, he's learning Kol HaTorah Kula, he's learning from Hashem, everything's amazing in there. So where's he running? Why is he leaving? And some answer, because you could be learning with Hashem, but if you're next to a Rasha like Esav, if you're in such a bad place, it doesn't matter. It's better to run away. The environment that a person has, both for good and for bad, has an incredible effect on who we are, how we grow, and how we're able to succeed. There was a study done on people walking into an office. And they'd walk in, and they were timed how fast they were walking as they walked into the office. Okay, in one office, you sat with a professor, and the professor used words like gray, infirm, weak, old, slow. Those are words that he subliminally threw into his speech. The whole room was a little bit dark. The professor spoke very slowly. And there were words like gray, those types of words on the wall. And then they timed that person as he walked out of the room. And there was a significant drop in the speed of the person walking out of that office. Then they had a different group of people that the professor that they met with used the word youth, vitality, energy, strength. And they timed those people. And those people walked out faster, with a greater speed, with a greater oomph, than they had walked in. The environment that we don't even realize how much it could have a hashpa on us, how much it could influence us, both for good and for bad. We come into a Beis Medrash, we're spoiled, that we're sitting here and we're learning, we don't even realize the fact that we're here just for a moment. Person needs a break, you come into the Beis Medrash for a minute. Even if you're not getting in the mood to learn right now, just sit in here. The ability to be around such a holy environment has a tremendous effect. The type of pictures that we hang up in our dorm rooms or in our homes, what does it represent? It has an effect on us. Does a picture of angry people that the world looks up to because they're very rich and they play very loud music? Is it basketball stars or whatever that use foul language? What type of people are we looking at around us that, yeah, it doesn't really affect us? It does. Studies have proven it. It does affect us. We put up tzaddikim. We put up pictures of holy people, people who gave their lives for the Jewish people. You look at that person, oh, that person gave a life for the Jewish people. That inspires me. Even though not directly, I might even realize it. But I feel it. It has a tremendous effect. We're able to walk into the Beis HaMikdash every day, three times a day, in our tefillah. We've shown him speak out that when we start our Shemona Esrei, we push out all the Tanuge Olam Hazeh, all of the delights of this world, and we enter into a new world. We're talking to Hashem. We're surrounded by Hashem's Shechina, by the presence. We're talking to Him one by one, one-on-one. What an unbelievable, awesome experience. Sometimes we should just stop in the middle of Shemona Esrei, stop saying the words for a minute, and think about, whoa, where am I right now? This is incredible. And then to be able to walk out of your Shemona Esrei, and you're waiting for the chazan, you have nothing to do, and you start looking on your phone for something, like, how could that be? I mean, how could you even daven from a phone? How could that be? You can't kiss it. When was the last time you saw someone kissing their phone, if they send them to the hospital, if they're doing it, right? You can't, you know, there's a whole new level of an environment that we're able to create if we're able to allow let it happen. Let it happen. Let that kedusha sink in. Let us be affected by it. And it's not just us making sure that we have an environment of the yeshiva, of our rooms, of our roommates, of our friends, of our chavusas, making sure we're padding ourselves properly with a great environment, but it's also the environment that we create. We can't forget that the way we speak, or the topics that we decide to speak about, or the places where we want to go for Shabbos, and we bring other people, we're creating a certain environment. And we have the ability to choose what type of environment do we want to create. Do we want to create this positive, enthusiastic, exciting environment where we can help other people grow? Even our friends, our chavrusas, we're going to help them grow. Or, tired today, I'm slouched today. You know, things that aren't mean, they're not bad, but we influence other people. We cause other people to feel slouched. You sit like this, I sit like this. It's normal. That's the way it goes. It's very hard. I had someone that bothered me very much. She was always like this. So I couldn't like sit normally. I don't sit normally like that. It was very hard for me to sit around him. You feel, when someone's standing like that, you also feel like you have to stand like that, right? We affect each other. And we have to make sure that the environment that we create over here in the yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash, in the dining room, in our dorm rooms, are one that is always helping us grow more and more and more and more and more. We have to make sure we're in those environments, and we have to make sure that we're facilitating such an environment to exist, that we're adding to such an environment. And if every single person here says, I'm going to add, I'm going to make it a great environment, an enthusiastic environment, one of growth, of growing closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu all the time, of purity, purity. We try to bring more purity as opposed to other things. So then every person will just make this place into, oh, it's already great, but even to a greater place, into a greater Makom Kedusha, and all of us will just be elevated with it. So we should try to take that, every person, one thing that we could bring in to make our environment even greater. We should also take one thing that we see in our own Dalet Amos, in our own environment, and see how are we being affected by it, and how can we move ourselves maybe into an even better situation, so that we can continue to grow to hit our maximal potential. Shabbos.